Hello, this is your Uncle Terry, you see, and you are listening to the roller coaster ride of a podcast, The Sirens of Audio.
What is this?
G'day audiophiles, this is the Sirens of Audio, the podcast that explores the universe of Doctor Who and the audio medium. My name is Dwayne.
And my name is Philip. G'day audiophiles, good to have you with us.
Ah, Philip, it's that time again. It's time for...
We've got Randomoids.
Randomoids 3, we're going to be talking about a couple of stories that the Big Finish Randomoid Selectatron picked out for us last time. We were talking about random stories, and we've got a couple of full stories for a change. Not short trips, not Torchwoods, not audiobooks. I made sure that it was a very random pick, and we got some full stories. So we're going to talk about those in a moment. So looking forward to doing that with you, Philip. But first, we got something else to do. You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a rabbit hole. Here we go. Meep, meep. All right. Now, at the time of recording, the high anticipation for everyone who is subscribing to Big Finish is the release of the Ninth Doctor box set, which is called Ravages, I believe. Yeah. Is it The Ravages or just Ravages? The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Ravages. I've got it right in front of me there, Philip. So, this podcast is going to be released after that comes out. So what I would like to do is I would like to do a review of those stories before they come out. How's that sound? Does that sound like a good challenge for you?
We're going to review them now, see what they're like.
We're going to review them right now and see if our review matches up with our expectations when the actual thing is released. Because it will be out by the time you see this. Let's do it. Ravages, the Ninth Doctor box set. There's three stories. All written by Nicholas Briggs. And who have we got? We've got a new companion, Camilla Beeput, a companion by the name of Nova. So first of all, what are your thoughts about placing this particular set into that period pre-Rose?
Is that what we've done? You're certain about that?
Positive.
Okay. Yeah, well, it was a great idea then.
Because I thought there are several places where they could have put it. There was two places at the end of Rose where the Doctor took off, and I think he took off in partway through Rose, and again at the end of Rose where all these things could have taken place. But they've done it before Rose.
He also takes off as well, and leaves Rose behind when he drops at the Powell Estate, and he goes off for seeing the Aliens of London.
Aliens of London, yeah.
So he could have popped away then for a while too.
But do you think this worked, Philip?
Oh, I thought it was a great idea. I'm waiting to see how they retcon it to bring him back to Rose, because certainly where Rose starts, it feels like things are just happening to a new generation. And so I'm sure that at some point in the future we're going to see some sort of retconning of the Doctor where he doesn't remember these situations. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, you want to have the freedom to know that you can expand the character and do lots of stories. Yeah. And when you don't have a sizable gap that's obvious, this is a way of doing it. But I'm still hoping his stories are with Rose later on anyway.
So when the Ninth Doctor collected Nova from the future where the Planet of the Apes were, I wasn't quite sure that would work. But there was no sign of Charlton Heston. He was nowhere to be seen. But I was very pleased with Nova because she was always pleasant on the eye anyway. Now she's pleasant on the ear. So very happy with Nova as a companion. Let's have a look at the stories Sphere of Freedom. Okay, so the blurb was on the Sphere of Freedom. The Doctor is about to shut down an evil immersive games business empire. He's assisted by a valiant galley chief called Nova, who was actually from Planet of the Apes, but she became a galley chief after that. But his plan spectacularly fails. And who exactly is Audrey? Is it something to do with Ace? For those, we don't want to spoil it, but that is a question that was on my mind beforehand, and the answer will surprise you. Who is Audrey?
I was expecting Audrey to be the killer plant from the Little Shop of Horrors, because that's Audrey as well. So I thought, you know, I was expecting that plant to be around in the future, eating people up. But no, it wasn't that either.
I tell you, Nick Briggs, surprise. with the first episode, Nick Briggs has outdone himself.
Oh, that's for sure. Himself. And, you know, Chris Eccleston's playing a gritty, the gritty doctor who, righteous outrage.
Yeah.
Superb performances there.
Yeah, still hasn't gotten used to his big ears. But anyway, we move on to the second episode, Cataclysm. Nova is dislocated in time while the time eddies are out of control. Meanwhile, the Doctor is about to face the end of the universe again. Or is that just the Battle of Waterloo? So this is a typical new series style where they've gone back in history. Battle of Waterloo, fantastic stuff. Just as the BBC can do historicals well, Big Finish always does historicals well as well. And the Ninth Doctor wasn't too sure how it fit in Waterloo with a leather jacket, but it worked very well. What was your thoughts on that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just thought the Doctor, you know, looking like a seaman anyway, it fitted in perfectly well with what was going on. I mean, yeah, once again, you know, we've had the future story, not the past story. I'm guessing we're going to go present next, because that was the format that Russell always followed with his seasons.
Well, the next story was called Food Fight. The TARDIS is starting to get a little crowded. Audrey finds herself haunted by a ghostly doctor. And it was very surprising to see Tom Baker turn up there in the TARDIS as that ghostly doctor. So that was something that was a great surprise to see the Ninth and the Fourth Doctors together. We always want it. We always want these multi-doctor stories. And to top it off, we get Sylvester McCoy as well, right at the very end. So as a repeat for the end of the beginning, we get that happening again. So it was great to revisit that scenario, but get a Three Doctors atmosphere as well. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, but there's nothing like a planet that just, you know, is constantly, you know, making lots of noise and lots of storms and just, you know, those beautiful colours. So you just feel the colours coming through the audio just so perfectly.
Yeah. And I did not expect when I saw Food Fight that they would actually be throwing chopped up Varga plants at each other. But I was very, very impressed that that's what it was. Fortunately, no one swallowed any.
No, it would have been painful getting those spikes stuck down your throat, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, there you go, Philip. That's our review for the Ninth Doctor Adventures, Ravages. And we'll see if our review comes even close to what the end product is when it's released, because at the time of recording, it's going to be released next week. But I believe we have hit the nail on the head with our review, Philip.
Yep.
I'll give this a 9.5 out of 10 anyway.
Yeah, well, definitely.
If not a 10.
Exactly.
And now, all right,
next time we should be reviewing, you know, The Crown Season 6, maybe.
Absolutely.
That's a couple of years before that comes out. So, yeah, let's have a go at that one.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to see the Harry and Meghan divorce. So that's going to be a good one. All right. So let's get out of the rabbit hole, and we are going to be talking about Randomoids 3, The Return of the Selectatron.
We've got Randomoids.
Now, the first story that the Selectatron picked for us last time was Sword of Orion, the second Eighth Doctor story that was released way back in 2001, just over 20 years ago.
This is better than I'd hoped for. Can't see any damage. I bet the weapon systems are in perfect condition. Those squaddies in Orion will give anything for high-class equipment. We are going to make a killing.
Doctor, where are you?
He's gone again.
No luck, then.
I thought for a moment you were going to cry out for help.
Oh, how can you be so annoying?
Anyone hear that?
Negative. What have you got, Kelsey?
Something that sounds not nice.
What's that?
What?
Stay where you are, Doctor.
You saw something?
Yes. Yes, something moving on the deck. Over there.
But, Doctor?
It's gone now.
My revival being delayed.
And it is one of the stories that was lifted from the audio visuals range back in the 80s. Now, I've got to say, Philip, having listened to a few fan-made productions these days, man, audio visuals really knew how to do it way back then, didn't they?
Well, I must admit, this is the first time I'd listened to an audiovisual. They'd been talked about in Legend and Big Finish circles and, in whispered hallways for years, but I'd never actually listened to any of them or got any hold of them. So it was great to research and go back and get this one. Now, admittedly, this is probably, it's known as the best of the audiovisuals range, and so we've certainly listened to the best, but it was stunning, and I was amazed at the quality. Even Nick Briggs is acting as the Doctor. Mm. I thought, what a great
He's
doctor.
He's a great Doctor.
He's a great Doctor.
Yep.
I thought you were dead.
How far now?
About another 200 metres. Take the next step.
I've got bad news. Cybermen run faster than people.
There's the airlock. Are you all right?
Just a little singed.
Get your helmet on and help me open the door.
Is this far enough?
Shut up and get in.
What are those creatures?
Cybermen. Half creature, half machine. Inhuman killers. Did you deal with the Cybermat?
That space rat? Yeah, no problem.
What do you propose to do now, Diva?
Oh, Diva, is it? What's happened over there, eh?
We discovered a ship full of Cybermen and a chamber where they convert humans into Cybermen, which is where you'll all end up if we don't start fighting for our lives.
Why has my revival been delayed?
There was a systems failure caused by an external influence, leader.
Then it must be corrected. What was the reason for the activation signal?
A human ship is drifting alongside.
Its crew must be captured and converted to continue the revival program.
And there was obviously, ARC stuff happening with companions and things. Because there was a male companion somewhere who I'd lost. I'm not quite sure what happened to him. Did he disappear or something right at the beginning? And
can't remember.
Okay. So there was a couple of things in terms of big idea plot stuff that just I couldn't quite follow in terms of what I was having in the range. But the music, it was so good. And then it was fascinating then contrasting it with the Big Finish production. And seeing the similarities.
Oh, I loved the title theme for that one too. I'm going to chuck it in right here. some of the other music that you mentioned, yes, that really sticks out to me too, because some of the music that was used in that was brought along with the story and used in the official Sword of Orion too.
Yeah, so there was, I mean, there was obviously some themes which were much too similar to what was actually used for the Cybermen and things in the audiovisual that I suspect they couldn't have brought forward because it probably would have infringed copyright. But it was, I mean, doing a bit of research, that it was the Sword of Orion was first commissioned by Bill Baggs, and when the first story that Nick actually wrote, which Nick thought was brilliant and clever and cerebral and this amazing piece of writing, Bill Redd didn't like it. And so Bill just said to him, "Yeah, I just want a traditional yarn." And apparently Nick was really offended. This story he'd actually written, Bill didn't like. And so he wrote Sword of Orion as a cliched piece of garbage and just threw in every cliche he could think of and thought, yeah, well, that will serve you right. And it ended up being the most successful, the most popular audiovisual that they released.
I wonder why that is, because obviously the biggest cliche in this was, or not cliche so much as pastiche, was of Blade Runner. This is an absolute lift of Blade Runner. Now, Doctor Who has taken ideas from various classical stories in the past, like Frankenstein, Phantom of the Opera, etc. But Blade Runner had only come out a couple of years before this. And the idea of the androids rebelling against humanity, and, you know, warring against humans and then being xenophobia between the two races, that was a full Blade Runner idea that was just whacked in there. And I guess the official release was a little bit further away, but the audio visuals release was only like 3 years out of the release of Blade Runner.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of ideas that were similar. I mean, I think part of why I enjoyed it so much was there's a lot of very different ideas. It's actually a really, really complex story, because you have the backstory of the androids, and once again, as saying, they could bleed, they could feel pain, all those things. You know, why weren't they human? They felt emotion, they felt all those things. So you've got that storyline happening there. You've got that contrasted with the Cybermen. And really, it's a horrific idea that I'm surprised the show never did, because the Cybermen always said that their conversion bases on planets, and you had to bring people to their conversion centres, like Telos and Mondas. It just didn't work. But to actually have a ship travelling through space, converting people, a converter liner, what a dreadful concept that was, but just brilliant. And I think that was really appealing. Just the fact there's no planets at all, even though there's a planet on the cover. Why? Whoever did the cover design, I'm amused by the fact there's a planet, even though there's no planets in the whole story.
But aren't they on the Garrison Bazaar in the first episode?
Yeah, but that's a ship. Is that a space dock? The Garrison Bazaar? I don't think the Garrison Bazaar...
I thought it was on a planet, wasn't it?
I got the impression that was on a big spaceport. A space docking thing.
Because I did want to mention this beautiful scene that I'd never really paid attention to that much before, and it really hit me this time, this beautiful relationship between Charlie and the Doctor so early on when they got on those hoverboards when they were trying to get back to the TARDIS. TARDIS was being taken away from where they were, and they were sort of having this really nice, exciting, fun adventure in this bazaar, meeting these strange characters, like it's you know, like the cantina scene almost in Star Wars, and then flying around on these hoverboard type things as well. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. It's not something that was in the original audiovisual version. It was placed in there, and that was my favourite thing about Sword of Orion. It was the relationship that was developing between Charlie and the Doctor. It was really, really nice. Right from that early stage.
This is their second adventure, isn't it? This is number two, number three. Yeah, and it feels like they've obviously already had other adventures between Storm Warning and here, because the relationship they have is just so good. And I think I've raved before. I don't think there's a much better pairing of companions than Paul McGann and Indy Fisher. I think Charlie and the Doctor just work so well. They both love life. They love each other. They love exploring. Everything about the two of them is just beautiful and enjoyable and fun. Mm. And so even though they get all sorts of scrapes along the way, and this is a pretty bleak story for a second one, and you know, they're close to death and there's huge danger there. Mm. The two of them, because they're just having fun all the time. It's just so nice to listen to. Because, you know, often the Doctor and companions fight, they don't get on. But in this time, yeah, the relationship is just beautiful.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the sound design on this one. I think it was Alistair Locke who did the sound design. Nick Briggs did the music. So the duties were split between the two of them. There was also something interesting about that too, is that Alistair Locke was also credited as Cyberman voices. So they were trying that Cyber Leader and Cyber Lieutenant voice that David Banks and Mark Hardy had from the series. Not the exact same voice in the sound design, but similar kind of dynamic they were going for. But I think these Cybermen were far creepier than the 80s Cybermen ever were. And the Cybermats were really, really creepy too, with awesome, awesome sound design, with really high-pitched squealing when they were sort of, you could tell they were pouncing towards their victims, like in Revenge of the Cybermen. And they had really good sounds to convey that. So even though Big Finish was still, at this stage, even at this stage, finding their feet when it came to putting these productions together, boy, they were doing a great job. And we've had Gary Russell on talking about how much of a genius in terms of sound design and music Nick Briggs is, and he really does know what he's doing with these things. I did find it interesting that there was another cyber voice in there, whereas later down the track, Nick would sort of take over many more of the voices, whereas in these early CDs, other actors would have these Cybermen voices as well, and Ice Warrior voices in similar stories around that same time. Not similar stories. Stories around set around the same time. So, yeah.
See, this is the first time the Cybermen turn up in Big Finish. Yeah. And I think they really bring them back with power. As you said, I think the Cybermats work so well. So one of the things that really impressed about this show is how visual it is, even though it's an audio story. The way the sound design has worked, the way the music has worked, and also the descriptions. The way one of the characters is reporting, on his radio about what he's seeing through an airlock door, I could picture exactly how the Cybermen were standing and just waiting and being still. And the picture I had in my head was just of total clarity. So I've been really impressed in terms of how well Nick was actually able to create scenes and make scenes work. I was just going to comment, it's interesting that, as I said, this is one of the shows that received fan wisdom is it's not very good. The Doctor Who magazine gave it a shocking review when it came out. But nevertheless, I think it's gone on to actually show it's a real classic. And yeah, I've listened to this many, many times now. And going back and hearing it again, I enjoyed it just as much this time as I've enjoyed every other time. And also hearing it, contrasted with the audio visuals, the similarities, which are huge, but also what they added to it, I think made it even better still too.
Cool. That's Sword of Orion. Shall we move on to the next story?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
So the next story that was picked for us by the Randomoid Selectatron was a Fifth Doctor adventure. I think it was number 221. So a reasonably recent one done about 5 years ago called The Starmen. It was the first story in a trilogy of stories featuring the Fifth Doctor, Adric, Tegan, and Nyssa. So set before Earthshock.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, The Starmen.
Welcome to Gallius Ultima, the launch platform for the greatest feat in the history of space exploration.
It's beautiful. That's a galaxy?
That, Tegan, is the large Magellanic Cloud.
Who on Gallius are you two?
We were just...
Didn't you hear the siren? We're in lockdown.
I am Rovus, Imperator of the Celtic, known to some as the Starmen.
We're getting an image on the main screen.
The Kepler?
Good gods.
What's happened to them?
Your ship has come under attack.
Now that's what I call a spaceship.
We're going in. Now we find out if anyone's waiting for us.
Look at the other examination tables. All the bodies are moving.
Your dead crew are walking.
The first one's coming this way.
Oh.
Tegan!
Bodies on the floor, covered in that red coral. What's happening?
The portal, as our friend here called it, seems to be powering up.
We should get away.
Get out! Get out of my mind!
I will destroy your mind, boy. You will belong to the Starmen.
Don't shoot! You might hit Tegan!
Open fire!
they don't slow down, they'll crash.
Confirm the Kepler's destination.
This base.
Big Finish. We love stories.
And this was the first time Matthew Waterhouse had appeared as Adric outside of that special box set, Fifth Doctor box set that was released called Psychodrome and Iterations of I. And I felt that in that box set that Matthew was struggling to find Adric's voice. Whereas in this, this is where Matthew Waterhouse has found Adric again. I think he's perfect in this. As and I enjoyed his performance of Adric throughout this whole set. That's the first thing I'll say about it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll actually agree with that. My memories of Adric was and Matthew Waterhouse was that he struggled to find the voice, and maybe for the first 5 minutes or so I was slightly uncomfortable, but I soon actually got very used to the voice. I mean, obviously his voice as an actor, as a man, has dropped a lot since he was 20 or so. And so he's actually having to raise the pitch, but he was doing it far more naturally. And I think the thing that got me was the opening scene with just the Doctor and the three of them in the crowded TARDIS. But they're actually having a good time, and they were really playing off each other really well. I think they toned Tegan's character down so she wasn't quite so narky. Mm. This is always love to everyone, but I think they just played off each other really well. So I think the main four cast throughout the whole story, I was really impressed by.
Yeah. And written by Andrew Smith. So this is the guy who wrote Adric's first story. Do you know if he had much to do with the creation of the character of Adric?
The character of Adric is owned by the BBC. So as John Nathan Turner would have written up all the instructions in terms of what he was like. But of course, Andrew Smith was the first one to actually write and put him in the story, in the context. So even though the character was created by someone else, Andrew Smith really did design him first. But, I mean, Andrew himself was, he was 18 when he wrote Full Circle? Mm. So I'm guessing that, I suspect there was bits of himself that he probably put in terms of inside Adric. So directed by Barnaby Edwards, who's always reliable in terms of... actually, Barnaby's great strength is getting great casts. And Steve Foxen did both design and music for this one.
Mm-hmm. So the story is pretty epic. It's an epic scale. So it's like a broad galaxy picture that's painted. They go to an observatory to go and check some stuff out, and then they find that this ship has been missing for a while. So they're trying to work out what's going on. Some weird coral starts appearing on the crew of the ship when it comes back from this area. What's it called? I read it differently to how it actually sounded in the story. I think it was called the...
Is it Magnellian Cloud? Something like that? No?
It's a Magellanic Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Massive cloud. So it's like a big rip into a different dimension is in the middle of this cloud. So it's a really vast, very big sci-fi sort of story. So whereas Sword of Orion, which we were just talking about, is still set in space but more horror-based, this was much more sci-fi and the concepts. I found myself thinking that Andrew Smith was in a way channeling Mark Platt in some of his strange, weird, alien otherworldliness that he comes up with sometimes. In this one. But I enjoyed all the... And, of course, he had to come up with ways to split the TARDIS crew up. So the Doctor and Tegan went off into the cloud, and the other members of the TARDIS crew stayed back and had different adventures in different places. And, I thought the concept of the Starmen was quite good. I don't think it's one of Andrew Smith's best stories ever. I didn't get... for instance, in Dalek Universe, he wrote the House of Kingdom. This didn't have the same effect on me as that. So, not my favourite Andrew Smith script, but certainly a good start to that particular trilogy for the Fifth Doctor and Companions. And I do remember when I first heard this trilogy, because it wasn't that long ago, This would have been my least favorite out of that trilogy. I think there was one called The Contingency Club that came after this, and then there was another one called Zoltes, which were all part of this TARDIS crew trilogy. But I thought this was fine. It was good. It was enjoyable. Sound design was good. Barnaby Edwards always delivers when it comes to, if anyone talks about Chimes of Midnight as the top of the pile when it comes to Big Finish, don't forget that Barnaby Edwards directed that. It wasn't Gary Russell or Nick Briggs. It was Barnaby. So he's one of the most competent directors out there. So I think this is a very, very enjoyable start to this trilogy. What do you think of the story, Philip?
I'm probably a bit less positive. Andrew Smith, on the whole, I love his writing. I think he's brilliant. I actually went looking to see. I assumed that this might have been one of his very early ones. And then I worked out actually it wasn't. It's sort of, in the middle. He'd been writing for quite a few years and written lots of really great stuff before now. I think maybe the story's too big. I mean, I do like... Actually, I thought he was creative how he split up the companions and Doctor. And it actually changed midway. So, as much as Tegan goes off with the Doctor and Adric and this stay behind, they then shake that up a bit by sending Nyssa off somewhere else. And so they do actually manage to find ways of shaking up how they split them up, which I thought was good. But I think maybe it was just trying to be too big. And always other dimensions, other universes and stuff, I'm never that impressed by. I do think that the standout performance was by, aside from the main crew, I thought the four regulars was all excellent. But Sophie Wu, who plays kind of a love interest for Adric.
Oh, yes.
I thought she was a really strong character, and I thought she was really well played, which I loved. But see, Peter Guinness, whose voice I adore, playing the commander guy, and he's in The Holy Terror, so I was recognising his voice, saying, oh, I recognise that voice. Went looking and realised, of course, he's the main baddie in The Holy Terror. I found both his character and then the character that Sue Holden's play just very cliched. The director of the base and the commander, who's a bit obstinate and doesn't listen to anyone. And I really found that they were just too cliched for my liking and too generic. So whereas Sophie Wu's had a bit of character towards, a bit of spunk and a bit, she was more rounded. Whereas these other two main characters, I just found them to be just bland, generic, base commander and army commander. So I think that was probably what disappointed me most in terms of characterizations. And then the main villain, the Starman guy, was sort of eh. So it's bizarre. Only 4 years ago I listened to it. I remembered none of it. So obviously it made no impression on me at all 4 years ago. And as I said, I hadn't gone back, and I need to go back, and there's a lot of stuff I do want to re-listen to, and great thing about the randomizer is it's forcing me to listen to stuff I haven't listened to for a while and needed to listen to well. There was some good stuff happening here, but there's some other stuff I thought it needed still some more work.
The thing is, this is number 221 in the monthly range, so Sword of Orion was number 17. So at that stage, there wasn't many to go back and listen to. We were re-listening to them over and over. There was no big, vast catalogue to, you just can't go back and listen to things anymore these days. And we were saying before we started recording the podcast that the only way to listen to everything again would be if Big Finish folded. We'd have this stuff that we could go back and listen to, because there'd be no new stuff coming out that we'd have to keep up with. So
we'd still have to live a long time, I'm thinking, into old age to be able to go back through everything again.
Oh, absolutely. And there's still even a lot of stuff that I've got that I just haven't heard yet. But the Starmen, if there's any comparison between the Starmen and Sword of Orion that I found, is that they were both lifting from other sci-fi elements. So if Sword of Orion was lifting from Blade Runner in terms of the androids and things like that, well, there was an interesting point in the Starmen where they were talking about space folding. So there was a space folding drive or something. I can't remember if that's what they called it, but it was very similar to the way space is folded in Dune. Plus, you've got the aliens coming through the portal to invade another dimension. In this case, it reminded me a little bit of the Nymon coming through and you know, invading another area as well. Different kind of way, but reminded me a little bit of that too. So, yeah, particularly Dune, I thought that aspect was lifted by Andrew Smith there. Doctor Who can do that and can get away with it, but it just stood out to me, that's all. So, yeah, I like this one. Not as much as Sword of Orion.
No, it certainly made me want to listen to the next two of the trilogy. And I recognised that Matthew Waterhouse was doing a much better job than I'd given him credit for.
Yeah, for sure. So there are our two picks from the Randomoid Selectatron for this time. Let's see what is going to be picked for us next time. So I'll go to the Randomoid Selectatron and let's spin that wheel, Philip.
Fantastic.
If I can find it. There it is. So the first release. Let's see if we can get one. No, we can't get one straight away. It's a book.
So what I realised...
Here we go. Well, I would say yes, we'll go with this one, but it's time in office and we've done that one already, so we have to go for another one.
Nick Briggs and Benji
obviously
take it every week.
Oh, yeah, they do. Who's round? Who's round? Ooh. I wonder if we should just do this as a one-off because it's come up with a box set. So I think we might do it as a one-off.
So what's the box set?
It is... Jago and Lightfoot.
Oh, lovely.
Series 8. So, do you want to do that one?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Jago and Lightfoot. We'll just pick this one, because it's got four stories in it, so we can review all those stories. And it's a Scorchy story. I know you love the Scorchies.
Oh, okay. I know which season it is. Fantastic.
Brilliant. So, yeah, four stories in there. Encore of the Scorchies by James Goss. The Backwards Men by Andy Lane. Jago and Lightfoot and Patsy by Simon Barnard and Paul Morris, and Higson and Quick by Justin Richards. So, yeah, we'll have a look at that one next for the next Randomoid segment. So that should be fun. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, so am I.
I've been wanting to do Jago and Lightfoot for ages, and because we've got Jago and Lightfoot season 14 coming out very shortly too, haven't we? So
we do. Yeah.
This month, I think it will be. Or possibly next... No, it's next month. This is going to be out. This is going to be out end of May. So, yes.
We're time traveling. When are we? What's the time?
Jago and Lightfoot season 14 is going to be out in June. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Or is it July? Doesn't matter. It's going to be out after you hear this. So, yeah. I'm really looking forward to this. So, thank you for that. Now, recommendations. I'm going to go... No, actually, Philip, you go first.
It's my turn.
Yeah, it is your turn.
Oh, okay. I'm going to recommend a podcast called Moira Moments. Which I think how you say it. Moira Moments. M-O-I-R-A. Moira Moments.
If you think I'm going to cut any of that, you're sadly mistaken.
Moira Moments. it's a podcast. It's actually a story. It's a performance written by Nigel Fairs. Doctor Who writer, and it's starring Louise Jamison and lots of other people.
Oh, excellent.
So it's...
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, so it's fantastic. It's free. You can just go to the podcast, search for Moira Moments, and download it. It's a really clever story. It's timey-wimey. So it's following the royal family on different events. So they just picked three events in history of the, you know, so on the background radio you've got, you know, I think it's the wedding of Charles and Diana's death. And so you've got these three moments picked throughout time. And then as you sort of progress through, you're meeting different characters, but you're going backwards and forwards in the periods. And so it's every episode is connected to one of those three time zones and the story that's happening in that time zone, but something happens with the characters based on what happened in the past, but you haven't seen that yet. And then you'll later go back to the past and see what happened there. Then you'll jump to the far future again. So it's just a very clever way of telling a story. An amazing cast, brilliantly acted. And yeah, Naja's put it together, and yeah, I think just the voices there, it's well worth a listen. What are you going to recommend?
All right, I would like to recommend a couple of audiobooks that I have just purchased in the last couple of days, but I haven't read them yet. But I'm going to recommend them anyway, because I got them from the Phantom Publishing people, and they had a couple of audiobooks on sale. The first one is Mary Tam, First Generation. So I got that. You can get that for... Now, I'm not being paid to say this, but you can get them. They're on special for $2.99, £2.99 at the moment.
Where
so
from?
Mary Tam, Phantom Publishing. Mary Tam, First Generation. That's her autobiography. She is reading it. So if Mary Tam was reading it, I thought, yep, I'll be getting that for sure. Also, there is an audiobook version of Who's There? The Life and Career of William Hartnell, which was written by his granddaughter, Jessica Carney. And Annika Wills is reading that. And that is also on special for $2.99 at the moment. Don't know if it will be by the time you hear this, but it was for me a couple of days ago. So I've downloaded those, and I would like to recommend those for anyone who would like to get those books. Now, the Jessica Carney book, the William Hartnell biography, is an abridged version, but that's okay, because I'm finding that I can cope with that, because I'm very short on time with all my audio listening at the moment. So
just listen at 1.5.
Plus, I will listen to it at faster speed. And so, yeah, that's my recommendation for today. Anything else you want to say for this episode, Philip?
No, it's been a joy as always. I'm enjoying being forced to listen to shows I may not have listened to otherwise.
Excellent. Jago and Lightfoot's coming up for the next Randomoids, guys.
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll catch you next time. You have been listening to the Sirens of Audio Episode 59, Randomoids 3, The Return of the Selectatron, with your hosts Philip Edney and Dwayne Bunny. Next time on the show, Sadie Miller joins us to talk about reprising Sarah Jane Smith on audio, the role her mum, Elizabeth Sladen, made famous. Theme music by the Jackpot Golden Boys. Email us at sirensofaudio@gmail.com. Check out sirensofaudio.com for links to all our podcast and social media locations. Please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share us around with as many as you like. And if you can provide us with a Randomoid Selectatron that doesn't have a fetish for choosing obscure episodes of Toby Haydoke's Who's Round, please send it to the email address already supplied. Otherwise, keep surprising your good self by sticking your little digits in that audio drama lucky dip, because audio drama is so cool.